This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Cornelius Bronk speaking. The story of the capture of Jericho is both an interesting and an instructive story. It is interesting inasmuch as even children, when they hear the story, listen spellbound to the exploits of Joshua and the people of Israel as they capture Jericho under the direction of Joshua. It's a tremendous story. Yet the Bible was not written to entertain us. The main purpose of this and other stories is that we be instructed in the way of salvation. What is the lesson we learn from this story? It is this. Jericho was destroyed, not by the might and power of Israel, but by the Lord of hosts. If anything comes through in this story, it is that salvation is only of the Lord. The destruction of the enemies of God's people is not to be attributed to the power and wisdom of the church, but to the King of the church, and to him alone. It was because the captain of the Lord's hosts led the armies of Israel that the fortress of Jericho was overthrown. Indeed, Israel did have a part in it. It was involved, because we read that they obeyed the Lord. They obeyed the instructions to the smallest details. In Hebrews 11, the apostle says that it was by faith, including obedience, that the walls of Jericho fell down. True faith always includes obedience. It was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down after the city was compassed about for 7 days. Joshua was in the vicinity of Jericho, and he was trying to plan his strategy. He looked against the coming conflict, because Jericho was a strong and mighty city. How was he going to take that city? But then the captain of the Lord of hosts met him and revealed to Joshua that he was going to be the leader and that Joshua had only to follow him. Joshua worshipped him. In chapter 6 of the book of Joshua, which is a continuation of chapter 5, we also read that the captain instructs Joshua how Jericho will be taken. Not only will the city be given into his hand, but also how Jericho will be taken, Joshua learns. In verses 3 to 5, we read that the Lord says, "Ye shall compass the city, all of you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." What a strange method the Lord is going to use. When Joshua told his generals about this plan, they must have really wondered. This goes against human reason. But this is always the way the Lord deals with man. He gives us instructions which are almost calculated to offend us and that go against our natural pride. We must be humbled, you see. The Lord did this to test Israel's faith and obedience. How did Israel receive this message? Did they obey? Yes, indeed, they did. They were different from their fathers. The Lord so worked in their hearts that he made them willing to obey, even this very strange command. As foolish as it must have seemed to reason, they carried out the instructions which Joshua had received from the Lord to the smallest details. Soon a strange procession is seen winding its way around the city of Jericho. Up front are the soldiers, followed by the priests, who carry the ark of the Lord. The priests are blowing their trumpets. Behind them follow the rest of the people. They walk in silence. They may not speak, not even a single word they may say. Only the priests must blow the trumpets, the ram's horns. The ark of the covenant of the Lord is carried by these priests, held up high, so that the ark is visible to all. It is in the center. That is how they walk around the city the first day. They circle the city once and return to the camp. The 2nd day, they repeat the same thing. For 6 days they walk around the city. What do we learn from this? Well, the ark is the symbol of Christ. As the priests carry the ark of the covenant around the city of Jericho, so the church of Christ must do exactly the same. The priests, the ministers of the Lord, must still lift up Jesus Christ and walk around the city of man's soul. In John Bunyan's book, The Holy War, he tells of the way of salvation in terms of man's soul, which has come under the authority of the Prince of Darkness, Satan. There is also Prince Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, who is laying siege to that city. But Jesus captures it. So also today, the priests of the Lord are to proclaim Christ, holding him up as the only way of salvation. They are to walk around the city of man's soul. The city of man's soul describes your and my state and condition by nature. That is what we are, a city fortified with gates closed, straightly shut up, as it says here, against all the influences of the gospel. That city of our soul is under the authority of Satan. The Lord Jesus speaks of this in Luke 11, where he compares Satan to a strong man who is in firm control of his palace. As long as Satan, that strong man, is in control, his goods are in peace. That is to say, his victims are under his power. That is the picture of the world at large. But that is also the picture of us, although we are members, maybe members of the church. By nature, we are all like that. Like Jericho, we have the gates of our city firmly closed, and we do not allow the gospel to make any impression upon us, if we can help it. Left to ourselves, we will resist the entrance of Prince Emmanuel. We are completely closed to God and to the things of God, whereas we are open to Satan and the things of the world. Into that world God has sent his Son. Into that world the Son, after completing the work which his Father had sent him to do on the cross, sent his disciples, and they have to conquer that world. But how are they going to do that? How can they conquer the city of man's soul? Not by carnal weapons, but by spiritual weapons. The Apostle Paul speaks of that in the second epistle to the Corinthians. There we have what is perhaps the best commentary on this episode in Joshua 6. For the weapons of our warfare, Paul says, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here Paul gives a description of the task of the church in its ministry. We are to attack the city of man's soul with spiritual weapons. Notice that Israel must walk in silence. They are not to speak a word. What a lesson that is for us, the church. We must perform our work in silence, with dignity, avoiding show. Is that not a lesson that has been forgotten by the church today? Worldly methods have taken over from the spiritual methods of our fathers. In many circles, religion has become almost a circus, a show business. Church activities are often advertised much the same way as show business cries up her wares. Everything is loud, everything is show, everything is calculated to impress the carnal man. Yet Christ himself said that when he would come, he would not lift up his voice, he would not cry in the streets, but he would do his work silently. That is how God works. When he saves a sinner, he does it in silence. His Spirit works in the innermost recesses of our hearts and souls. It is not in the wind nor in the earthquake, but it is in the still small voice of the gospel that the Lord saves his own. The Israelites must walk around Jericho again and again. They must have wondered, what is going to be the result of this? What will possibly be the fruit of this walking around and around? Remember, they did not know what Joshua knew, namely, that at the completion of 6 days, on the seventh day, when they had to walk 7 times around the city, it would be given in their hands. Joshua had not told them that. If you read the chapter carefully, you will find that he told them only to walk around the city every day. It wasn't until the seventh day that he gave them the last instructions. He had only given them their marching orders for each day. The great Joshua also has told his church to preach the gospel to all creatures, but he has not said that they would be successful. Jesus did not tell them that they would have many conversions. Today everything is measured by success and numbers. We are in the numbers game. If a missionary or an evangelist does not have much success upon his work, it is thought that he does not use the right method. He should drop his method and adopt a new one. Some methods have been devised which are very successful in evangelism, as it would seem. And many people are being brought into the churches this way. All this goes against the spirit of the gospel. But who cares? If it works, it must be good, many people reason. They feel that the simple preaching of the word by his servants is too simple, too old-fashioned. But the Apostle Paul says that by the foolishness of preaching, it has pleased the Lord to save sinners. It is exactly when we think it is foolish and ineffective, from man's point of view, that God is pleased to honor those methods. Those priests had to blow their trumpets, but it says that they were ram's horns. The Lord had instructed Israel to make silver trumpets. You can read about that in Numbers 10. Those silver trumpets were to be used to gather the congregation together on certain occasions, and also to issue warnings when the enemy was threatening. Here Joshua is told that he must use ram's horns. Why not silver trumpets? I think it was to emphasize the lowliness, the simplicity of the means which God was going to use. The silver trumpets were not to be used for this purpose, but ram's horns, the plates of instruments. Throughout history, the Lord has been pleased to use the simplest means. The most humble of God's servants, the most uneducated ones, have been used to bring sometimes the greatest number of souls into the kingdom. No, it is not the men of learning necessarily who will have fruits upon their labors, although we should not despise learning, of course. It is necessary that ministers have a good education, naturally. But let us not expect it from the learning. God is not bound by any human power or intellect, but he uses the means that he chooses. Ram's horns were blown, and they were to be the means whereby God overthrew the city of Jericho. Sometimes God's servants are discouraged when they see that their preaching does not lead to any visible fruits. They walk around the city of man's soul again and again. Yes, every sermon, you might say, is an attempt to walk around that fortress called the natural man, the fortress that holds out against the influences of the gospel as long as it can. When a minister preaches the gospel and he lifts up the ark, Jesus Christ, before the people, and he sees that no one is listening, no matter how urgently he preaches, that nothing seems to happen, oh, then the danger is so great that God's servant will become discouraged. But he should realize that that is wrong. He may not be discouraged. He may not give up, for that is giving in to Satan and his temptations. What God's servants must do, not only ministers, but all who deal with souls, is to patiently endure. That is what we learn from Joshua 6. The Lord tests his servants' obedience, faithfulness, and consistency. The fruits he will give are entirely up to him. God is honored more by our obedience than by our success. Obedience will bring rewards in God's own good time. Jericho's walls did come down, and God gave his people a wonderful victory. So you too will be victorious over sin and evil in your life if you but trust and obey the word of the living God. Amen.